are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, April the 25th, and we're answering the Ish Smith question today. But this is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Quick reminder that there will be no podcast on Friday. Just a bunch of things going on, and the Pistons season is over, so we'll be moving to kind of a four-day-a-week format at times throughout the offseason. Sometimes we'll have five podcasts a week, and some weeks we'll go with three, so we'll kind of play it by ear as we start off the offseason now. But today we're going to give the bad news, but not such bad news, about Blake Griffin from Wednesday. We're also going to run down Wednesday night's games across the NBA. We're going to also hear from Ish Smith in the season-ending press conference on Tuesday during locker room cleanup day. And then I'm going to give my verdict on what I think Ish Smith's future with the Detroit Pistons should or should not be. So I'll have that to wrap up the show later on. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But I've teased this for a couple days, but it got to some other things there, so I wanted to do it today quickly with the short version of why I believe that the Pistons getting their butts handed to them by the Milwaukee Bucks could be a good thing in the long run. They got spanked, no doubt about it. And the reason it's a good thing is that it just tells you that you need to make some major improvements in this Detroit Pistons roster. Snaps everything into focus. Some big changes need to be made. Don't be afraid to be bold. Make the moves that are not safe, maybe more some of these upside-driven types of moves. So along those lines, that will color my verdict of Ish Smith at the end of the show. So there's a little podcast teaser there from the best in the business, your boy Matt, here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But the biggest Pistons news from Wednesday is bad news, actually, and that's that Blake Griffin had to have arthroscopic knee surgery on his left knee on Wednesday in Los Angeles. If you listened yesterday, I was at the locker room cleanup on Tuesday, so kind of got a little bit of the word around the team. I was kind of hinting at that this was going to happen. And if you're listening to Blake in his comments that we played on Wednesday's podcast as well, he said that there will be something. And we had heard some rumors about arthroscopic knee surgery even while the postseason was going on. So really no surprise to hear this news. And I think it's kind of been known around the team, and if you've been following the team quite a bit for a while as well. And it's obvious, you know, the brace that he wore in the playoffs on his left knee, it wasn't an athletic brace. You knew that some sort of surgery was going to be needed, and it might be chronic. I mean, it might be an arthritic knee going forward. I don't know that to be a fact, but it sounds bad if that is the case, but it could be bad for the longevity of his career. But in the team release, the Pistons did say that they should be able to have a normal offseason. Obviously, this is something that Blake knew about when he was talking to us yesterday and hinted, like I said, that there would be something done, but it wouldn't mess with the bulk of his offseason. So this is time that he talked about that he would be resting anyways, and hopefully in about 4 to 6 weeks' time, he's back with the trainers and doing the normal offseason and a very successful offseason for his skill development that he had last summer. So stay tuned on that, and hopefully Blake Griffin is back working on his game and working on his body going forward as soon as possible this summer. But as far as teams still playing in the NBA playoffs from Wednesday night, the Clippers late night get the upset against Golden State in Oracle in Oakland once again, pushing the series to a game six. It's 3-2 Golden State right now. Man, those Warriors are so weak. Just sleepwalking through the playoffs. Obviously an uber-talented team, no doubt about that, but just not putting the exclamation point on once again. The most unimpressive dynasty ever in my recollection here. 129-121 is the Clippers win. Another home loss for Golden State. 33 points for Lou Williams in this one and 45 for Kevin Durant. In the earlier game, the Rockets closed out the Utah Jazz in a series win, 4-1 there, with a 100-93 victory. And James Harden with 26 points in that one. A lot of Houston buzz, rightfully so, going into the probable matchup with Golden State in the second round, assuming that the Warriors at some point take care of business in that 1-8 matchup. But tonight, on the court, the Nuggets up 3-2 are in San Antonio to take on the Spurs, trying to close that one out. That one's going to be on TNT at 8 o'clock. And then that's it for tonight. On Friday, you're going to have the Warriors back at L.A. in Staples to take on the Clippers. That's going to be a 10 o'clock game on ESPN. Game 6 there. Would love to see the Clips get that one, too, and possibly send that one to 7, where it'd be real fingernail-biting time at that point. But, by the way, Saturday is the start of the second round. That's going to be Sixers and Raptors. Time to be determined. And I believe that they will start the Denver-Portland series on Saturday, too, if the Nuggets win that one tonight. And if not, then they'll go to that Game 7 between San Antonio and Denver on Saturday at a time to be determined there. So that's what to look forward to throughout the weekend. Then you're going to have Boston and Milwaukee series. That's going to start on Sunday, and then whatever it is for the other Western Conference, if that means it's going to be Houston and Golden State in Game 1 or Golden State and the Clippers in Game 7, that will also be Sunday as well. So there's the rundown for the schedule for the weekend there. But up next, we're going to hear from Ish Smith from his locker room cleanup day press conference on Tuesday. But by the way, you can get the Locked On Pistons podcast on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device, by God, by now you better be doing it, play podcast Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
You have been here 3 years, which, the 3 months was a long stay for you, and some of the stops before that. What was it like to have the stability?
Nah, it feels good, man. It feels really, really good. I think being in one city, them being able to embrace you, kind of the battles that we went through earlier, my first year here, Reggie being hurt. Next year, kind of getting a great start, losing close teammates and Pope and Marcus and, having Avery. And then it's just been a lot of, processing to see it all through. Obviously, each team's end result is to win a championship. But only one team can win a championship. So we made it to the playoffs. It was something that was a goal of ours, I'm sure. Nobody thought we would, be able to, maybe a few, but get to that level. Obviously, injuries hit us, but, when you're with one team for those 3 years, you're able to kind of see that process and see things through and allow the city to kind of embrace you. And I think that, pretty much if I had to look back, that's, when my stay here in Detroit, kind of represented.
From a professional standpoint, playing standpoint, were you able to show the full range of your game? Because it's so hard when you are learning an offense and you have these short stints, but to stay for 3 years, do you feel like you got to show really what type of player you are and that you can fit in any system?
Yeah. Obviously, as you know, Ron, like playing with speed, playing with pace is something that that I'm best at. But, being able to improve my three-point shooting and being able to play in, a slower game sometimes and pick-and-roll games when the game slowed down and different things like that, it does. And it allows you, like I said, to be in one spot, one place, with one coach. And they learn you, you learn them. And so that is a big part. And so I think that did help. And I think that's a huge part.
With free agents coming up, do you expect to talk to the Pistons when that time comes on July
1st? Yeah, absolutely. This is, I think I said this the other day during the interview. Detroit is the one city that kind of embraced me, kind of took on, my skill and ability and respected it and loved it. So obviously, they call, I'm for sure going to pick up. This has been home the last 3 years. And so we joke around all the time, we laugh. But those are the relationships you build when you are with a program and when you're with an organization, for a longer period of time than a couple months.
I asked you at the beginning of the year if it would be hard to go through the season without thinking about this summer. Did that change at all as the season got closer to an end?
Nah, for me, it was trying to get in the playoffs. And so I hope when y'all watch me play, that's what it looked like. He's trying to get in the playoffs. And obviously, like I said, it didn't turn out the way we wanted to. You played a better team. That's the respect to them. But for me, I told you, James, I just try to hoop. And then I worry about it now. But for the matter of fact, no, I ain't going to worry about it now. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to relax. My body hurting. But it was a lot of ups and downs, and whatever the case is, I just wanted to get back on the floor to kind of, you know, be around your guys. I felt like a coach, man, bringing the suits and stuff like that. But for me, I'll never really think about it. You think about winning, and the rest of it take care of itself.
The last time when you went through free agency 3 years ago, you had a deal in place by the time the sun came.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any expectations going into July 1st this year?
If I can get it over with like that, that would be great. But I don't have no expectations. You never really have any expectations about that stuff. You just kind of go with the flow. You talk, you know, to your agency, your family, friends, significant others, and see what, you know, here it is. But you know, obviously, you're the leading pawn, and you got to kind of tell them what's the deal, not what best fits them or what's their favorite city. So, but, you know, that would be great. It takes a lot of pressure off of you. But, you know, who knows how it goes this summer.
What was your perception of Blake before you guys became teammates? And then where are you guys? Like, what have you learned about him now?
Before I tell you, that was my that's my guy. But I don't know. You know, before BG came, you know, from the outside looking in, it was Live City. Everything was pretty. Obviously, with CP, he went to Wake Forest. And so we got a really, really good relationship. He was kind of like our mentor. Wake Forest University, one of the top 30 universities.
I laugh at that. In fact, you're close with Chris Paul, and then hearing what you're probably about to say.
Yeah, but like the whole Live City and it's funny because they didn't have the best, you know, depiction.
Right,
everybody right, used to think like, you know, they would, you know, front runners hit you in the mouth once they, you know, go up on you by 15 to 20, then they embarrass you. But if you kind of make it like a hard game, then they kind of, you know, getting on the refs and stuff like that. But when he came here, totally different. Hard working. He going to fight for you. And, man, me and BG, we've I think when he's on the floor, I think I play better as a, you know, he just makes life easier. For me, I'm sure everybody can attest to that. The performance he put on with his knee, his last two games was special. Because he really could have, you know, gone away with the season and done things differently. And, you know, it still would have been, you know, same result. But for him to step out there and play and then put up the numbers and the play he put up, like I said, you can't judge a book by anything you hear. And so my relationship with him, that's my guy, man. I really do. I go to war with him any day of the week. You know, me and him get out there and he get to rolling. I get to talking trash for him. And so it's so fun playing with him. And, you know, hopefully we can kind of continue that.
What about his personality? Did you
met
him before you were teammates? And did you hear about he's funny? Like,
yeah, you know, no, like, I heard about it. I heard about his jokes.
Yeah.
But, you know what? We always clowning and joking.
Yeah.
And it'd be those tense times during the game. He probably don't like it. I'm sitting here cracking a joke. And he like, yo, come on, Ish. Like, but that's like our relationship. We always joking and we clowning. We always joke with each other. We kind of have the same basis and background, how we grew up. And so that relationship it's grown and it continues to grow. So I'm happy. I wouldn't want anybody else on my team, man. He's a true warrior.
Formal conversations ahead about your future, but if you had like informal conversations with Blake or Coach Casey or the last 12 hours or so about things going forward, seeing as though you don't
I talked to Coach Case. I talked to Coach Case throughout the year. He obviously showed me. You know, he told me that he would love to have me back, and I love to be back here, Coach Case, man. Obviously, I think previous years I put up, you know, better, quote-unquote, statistical numbers. But this year I think the impact was greater than resulted in wins. And so that's just a tribute to him, just kind of allow me to be me, play with confidence, play with a good flow. And the guys, my teammates, they just kind of allow me to, again, be me. And that's not always, you know, the easiest thing, you know, for a player. And so when they allow that, hopefully then, you know, I reward them by, you know, giving them everything I got and hopefully, you know, like I said, results and wins. So, but I did talk to Coach Case. BG, you know, like I said, me and him constantly talking. So, we'll see.
You expect to keep talking with those guys for the next couple
of years? Yeah, I don't. I know some guys who cut the whole. I'm like, what are you doing? Just cut people, because relationships is everything.
Yeah.
You know, you come back, you don't come back. Like, still relationships are everything. And so I think so many people, they cut that off, and then all of a sudden, you never know when you're gonna see that person again, or when, you know, you guys are, you know, need each other again.
How much growth did you see in Bruce Brown this year, and what do you think is the next step for him?
Bruce is special. You know, I've never seen a guy that young come in defensively. Like, he was special. I'm talking about you would put him – Chris Middleton struggled so bad last night. And this is no offense to him. Chris Middleton's an all-star, heck of a player. And maybe he just missed some shots. I'm sure he, you know, say he missed some shots, but Bruce was special. He guarded some of the best guys. And offensively, his strong, you know, will to get to the cup and his ability to play in transition, I think he's got a pretty looking shot. Obviously, we all need to get better, you know, our shooting. So, but I think he's got a chance to really, really be special. I think he's got a chance to be a 3-and-D guy, a guy that can guard, knock down shots, can drive. So the future's bright. I remember being a rookie and not even smelling the floor. So for him to be on a playoff team, that's a great start for him. And Kyrie, Svee, all those guys, they got a very, very bright future.
Played for a lot of coaches. What are some of the qualities of Dwayne that you came to appreciate?
Coach Kess got this calm under pressure. That is pretty cool. For me, I don't like to get rattled. I don't like to get up and down. And Coach Case, he just kind of, you know, stay calm and never get too high, never get too low. Obviously, he had his moments, just like any coach, when you get frustrated, you get mad, the players are not giving you what you expected or what you taught them out on the floor. And so we understood that. But for the most part, when things got too high, too low, we dealt with a lot of adversity. He never was down. He never got frustrated. He never got mad. And the end result was the playoffs. And that's a huge tribute to, you know, his personality kind of being even keel. Appreciate y'all.
All right, a little bit disoriented tonight because we're actually taping this segment first, and then we'll be going backwards throughout the show because I wanted to get the West Coast Warriors-Clippers final score in for you as you guys woke up on Thursday morning. So as this game is going on right now, going to tell you about my opinion on Ish Smith. We heard about him, in the second segment a bit ago. Great guy. Read my story in today's Detroit News, by the way, and check it out at detnews.com. For all the particulars, it's a long look at his kind of decision and how, of course, he's saying all the right things about how he loves Detroit. I'm guessing the fact that he made $18 million has to do with a lot of the reason that he loves Detroit. And that's not to be super cynical, but when teams sign you to your first long-term deal, you're going to naturally gravitate toward that place and that franchise, of course. But my opinion on Ish Smith is that I think it's time for the Pistons to move on from Ish Smith. And that's in a respectful and thankful way. But there's some facts out there. He's turning 31 on July 5th, so presumably 4 days or so after he signs his next contract in free agency, if he signs right around the July 1st opening time there. The numbers are down for Ish Smith in his year 30 season and year 3 for the Detroit Pistons. Now, the counting numbers, a lot of that has to do with Reggie Jackson's health and minutes being up overall. So obviously that's going to cut into a lot of Ish Smith's averages there. But the percentages are down too. And let me break it down like this. In two schools of thought where Ish kind of fails the sniff test in both of them, building a team is hard, first of all. And all these guys on your roster and all the free agent possibilities, they all have things in the NBA that they do well and things that they don't do well. And very few times can we all come together in a consensus about a certain guy and how he might fit on a roster going forward. And I'm not saying that this is a slam dunk decision because there is good things about Ish Smith, and I do know that there are going to be some Ish fans out there that are going to be upset that I would suggest that we don't bring him back and who don't want him to go. But let me put it like this. If you're like me, you think that maybe defense should be an important part of the construct of this team going forward, a very important part. Now, I'm not saying that it's more important than offense. In today's NBA, offense is more important than defense, but I do think that the Pistons should be considering the defensive makeup of the team more than your average NBA team going forward. You get the fan base back. That's what we want to see here in Detroit. You get a little bit of an identity back with this franchise. You know, you kind of fall into that going to work mentality and era that I think Dwayne Casey would want to kind of harken back into there. So with that said, are we going to run back-ish with that defensive identity in mind? No, of course you won't. So kind of looking at another perspective of it, I know there's some of you out there who are like, no, it's not even close to being all about defense for roster construct. Matt here with the podcast, he's from the Stone Age. Who cares about defense? It's all about offense on that in this this new NBA, and I respect the opinion, of course. But for you and that new age thinking out there, a hypothetical listener, well, of course you would need to knock down shots. You need to be able to hit three-pointers in the new NBA, and Ish has proven that he can't do that. He's been a below-league-average three-point shooter for his entire career, and at 31, I don't think he's solving that. So when you're evaluating him, his defense is bad. That's only going to get worse in time. He's turning 31. He had the groin injury this year, which is something, one of those injuries that could continue nagging throughout your career. The backs, the groins, those kind of core type of injuries are ones that don't necessarily go away or have the potential to possibly not go away. That's the kind of thing that could pile up with age, as those of us in our 30s know. So he can't really shoot from the outside. A maddening amount of mid-range two-point shots that you know Dwayne Casey and his shot spectrum hate so much. And he doesn't really look good as a shooter to the naked eye as well. This isn't a projectable jump shot that's getting better or has the potential to get better. I would say that Bruce Brown, when I watch him shoot, the result is always very ugly, or pretty much always very ugly. But at least there's the makings of a good jump shot there when you watch his form, in my opinion. Anyway, now Ish Smith, we know that his best asset is his speed, and guess what? That goes away in your 30s too. Now, of course, you'd want Ish Smith around for his leadership in the locker room. But I tell you what, about this team, this is a solid locker room. Not enough talent on the roster, we know. But when talking about character and locker room types, I think that's good. I think the Pistons are good right there. And losing one good guy doesn't mean that it teeters into some kind of different bad direction with this group right now. And you know what? We'll talk about this more in the offseason, but maybe they do need a little bit of a badass in the locker room. And this isn't necessarily central to the Ish Smith discussion, yes or no there, but maybe a guy that's brought in to the roster, whether it's free agency, the draft, the trade, whatever it is, maybe a guy who isn't necessarily thought of as a nice guy around the league or a great guy. I'm of the belief that Zaza Pachulia doesn't come back to this team based on the decision that the front office will make with the backup center position going forward. But maybe the Pistons need a guy like that who has a bit of that reputation as maybe a bad guy. And Zaza's a good guy, but as far as his reputation of a dirty player, maybe that could be something the Pistons could need. Someone that makes the rest of the league and fans around the league cringe a little bit. So on my characteristic list that I have of potentially or hypothetically have of things that the Pistons should be looking for in the offseason, I wouldn't have like a great guy or great citizen as high on my list as usual. It's not, ever in my top three or anything like that, but it being as important or being, fairly important as it might be to any team in any sport on any given season, I don't think it's as high this time around for the Detroit Pistons. I think maybe they can roll the dice with a character question mark or two and absorb that with the good locker room that they have and maybe see how that goes going forward. Maybe someone who's not well-loved around the league might give this team a little bit of an edge. So I think that this is an opportunity, this backup point guard spot, maybe an opportunity for an upside play with the front office with some of those point guard minutes, and the Pistons should take advantage of that. My vote is to give a lot of the minutes to Bruce Brown. Give him a full look at point guard, have his defense out on the court without necessarily killing the offense like he does when he's kind of forced to stand in the corner and not be a shooter that you rely on. So if he's able to handle the load offensively, and we could be talking about, anywhere from 8 to 12 minutes a game at the point guard position and maybe still playing on the wing a little bit in his defensive role, but you have him out there playing some point guard. You have some tough defense there at that position. I think that's something that can make this team overall better. And then in addition to giving Bruce some of those minutes, and I'm not a big Luke Kennard as a point guard fan. I don't see that mentality for him, that take chargedness. Maybe down the road, but I'd like to see him develop in his role a little bit more. He's so important to the Pistons with his offense that I don't really want to mess with that right now, especially when I feel like there's some more room to grow and more room to be a consistent, very good scorer for this team going forward. So in addition to maybe giving some of those minutes to Bruce Brown, you grab like a Jose Calderon type on a veteran minimum. And I don't mean Jose Calderon, or I don't even mean a 37-year-old like that. I'd actually rather prefer like a Wade Baldwin type. Now, I haven't studied Wade Baldwin's game for this coming offseason yet, but what I mean is like a former first-round pick who's been discarded a little bit, who's still, you know, in his young phase of his career and has a little bit to prove. I'd like maybe that kind of type if they're out there. You know, someone as opposed to a veteran that's more reliable but might be a little bit washed up like Calderon was this year in that third-string point guard mode. And how about this? Along those lines, maybe there's a happy medium. There's a marriage to be had in these two schools of thought. If Ish Smith strikes out on the open free agent market, which I think might be a possibility for a 31-year-old who can't really fill it up from the outside, and if he wants to come back on that one-year minimum or close to a minimum deal, then maybe you give him that spot with an understanding that there's probably going to, or there's definitely going to be less minutes available if considering, assuming health for the Pistons with Reggie Jackson, whatever else you go for in that backup point guard role. And if you give Bruce that real shot there. And for a guy like Ish, who's made $18 million over the past 3 years, is offering a minimum contract too much of a slap in the face? I don't know. You know, maybe that's the case. Maybe the front office wouldn't want to do that right off the bat and maybe see how it goes with Ish there in the offseason. Or maybe you tell him, you do give him a call on July 1st and say, hey, Ish, I know this is an awkward call because we're not offering you much, but if you strike out on the market and want to come back on a minimum type of deal, maybe you bump it up to $3 million as opposed to the 2.3 or 2.2 or whatever the veteran minimum is next year. Maybe that's something you would consider there. But in addition to that, in-house roster options, maybe Kalen Lucas is an answer for the year as a third-string point guard, a guy who gets an NBA contract. But in that case, I would almost rather have an open competition for guys like Lucas and hungry G-leaguers and guys like that at training camp than a veteran like Jose Calderon on his last legs. Just kind of saying for my 2 cents there for the point guard position. Obviously, all of this is assuming you bring Reggie Jackson back and there's not a complete overhaul or retooling. And if there's a world where a young, unproven point guard or a young, strong, high upside point guard is traded for or something like that, maybe you do bring Ish Smith back as that reliable kind of backup point guard option. Maybe there is a world that exists where that happens. But as the Reggie Jackson world that we are living in reality is right now, looking forward for this team next year, I'm going to go ahead and say a respectful but fairly hard pass on Ish Smith as far as a multi-year deal or making even decent money on a one-year deal is for the Detroit Pistons next year. So thanks for listening. And remember, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. When you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. Reminder, I'm planning on no podcast on Friday, so that'll do it for shows for this week. So have a great weekend, everyone. We'll be back on Monday, going to announce the new contest for finding the greatest Pistons fan in the world. I know a lot of you guys are excited for that. So we'll have details on Monday is the plan for now. So we'll talk to you then. Have a great weekend. This is Matt Shook, host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying we'll talk to you Monday, everyone.